One quick announcement. Next week, the meeting, the yearly business meeting and fellowship that we had scheduled for last week, that because of the uncertainty of the weather last week was postponed, will be next Sunday after church. We will have a little bit of a shorter service than we normally would, and then we will go next door to the fellowship hall. And listen, even if you could care less about the business meeting, come to the fellowship, because what I've heard and seen from someone who tasted, because I can't taste based on my fast, you want to come just for the food alone. So you just come, have a good time. I promise you, business meeting will be no more than 15, 20 minutes. We'll be done like that, okay? So, and we'll just have some fun together as a church, in Jesus' name. But right now, I want to share with you what the Lord's kind of put on my heart. And this is a two-part message. And I'm sure you're looking at the time going, thank God we're breaking this up. But we'll complete it next week, Lord willing. But it's based out of Hebrews 11, 1-3. Let's read that scripture together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Okay? See, many of us know the first part of this verse, but we always forget that second part. The elders obtained a good testimony. Who are the elders? Well, he's talking about those who have already lived out their faith. It's their testimony of faith that we have today that we can stand on. He's talking about, look what happened to Moses. Look at his testimony of faith. He, you know, 80 years later, he's leading the people. Okay? He's talking about Abraham, who didn't even know God but was a pagan idol maker. He met the living God, and he just said, I'm yours, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. He's talking about the testimony of those who we look back and say, man, look how God moved in their life. And in many ways, those of us sitting here today can look back at specific individuals in our life and go, man, I remember when this happened to this person in my life and how God came through. And if he can come through then, he can come through now. Some of you might be saying that about what you just heard today 5 years from now, a year from now. Those are the testimonies that are prophetic. So he's saying faith, their faith, and the fact that the testimony of what happened to them continues, their legacy is a legacy of faith, not of the person, but of what God did in the person's life. We have that to hold on to when everything doesn't seem as it should. Then he says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So in a weird kind of way, what I'm going to share with you today is a setup for next week. But in and of itself, there's some important things we have to understand. I want to look at specific words. Let's look at in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Substance. Substance is the tangible weight of something. Okay? It's the reality of something. But the actual word here goes a little bit further in Greek. It means the realization of the things hoped for. The things that we have hoped for, we have seen to come. So faith is that expectation of the things that are hoped for that we know are meant to come. The way I like to talk about faith and hope sometimes is it's an expected expectation, okay? To me, that's how I define hope and faith in the Bible. It's an expected expectation. It's you as a kid wanting a new bike for Christmas so badly that you actually, a month before Christmas, go with mom and dad to the store, pick out the bike that you want, but they tell you can't have it till Christmas morning. You bring it home. They put a bow on it and stick it in the closet. You know it's in the closet, and you know it's coming, but you can't get it till the right moment. So it's that expected expectation. I expect that Christmas morning, that bike's coming out, and I get to ride it. It's there for me. I know it's there. So faith is the realization of the things I've been hoping for. Now, hoping for is not fleeting hope. It's hope in Christ, right? Christ is our hope. Scripture tells us this. And I'm going to go back to a verse Jacob used a couple of weeks ago when he talked about how, oh my gosh, I'm going blank right now. That, yeah, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That when I am in tune and ripe with the Lord, that means my desires are in tune with his heart. So that means my hopes are in tune with his desires. So there's a unity there. So then the substance of things that I'm hoping for is the realization of things that God has established already for me or for the things that I am doing. Okay? So keep that in mind. He's setting that up. It's the reality and realization of that truth of what God has for us. It's not a fleeting hope. It's not like, oh, Lord, I want a Lamborghini tomorrow. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? It's talking about, Lord, I know this is your heart for me. I've been waiting for this for the last year or more. I know it's coming. So I am holding on till you reveal it. But I will act and prepare as if. Okay? Many of you know this testimony. Lord told me to build my house 6 years, or I put an addition, 6 years before I met Tiffany, because he said, I'm bringing you a family. So I, in faith, put that addition on. And then I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. But in his perfect timing, he brought her in my life. Perfect timing. That's what he's talking about. Now, the evidence of things not seen. The word for evidence can easily be replaced with confidence in the things not seen yet. Okay? So, not only it's the realization of what God has for me, but it's my confidence that it's going to happen. It's a realization within me and a confidence. And with confidence, what goes hand in hand? What's the twin sister of confidence? Boldness. If I'm confident in something, I'm going to be bold in it, right? If I know that I know I know, then I'm going to be bold in what I know that I know that I know. So I have now the boldness to act and to move and to just press on into these things. See, the elders obtained a good testimony. They left a legacy, a history of results from faith. How do we know it's reality or there's a realization of it? Because it happened. What we read about that God told Moses 80 years earlier came through. What God told Abraham came through. And then later on in Hebrews, you know, he lists the hall of faith. Hall of Fame of faith. So people just call it Hall of Faith. Of what happened. So we know it actually happened. Now, this is another one we need to keep in mind. In verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Now, the word for worlds is the ages. In Greek means the ages or even the eons. In other words, the heavens and the earth and everything in between and since and yet to be. So by faith, we understand that the eons, the ages, everything in time and space that we know, that we call reality, were framed by the Word of God. Think about that. Remember, He spoke it and it happened. And then the Word became flesh in Christ Jesus. And we were empowered to do what we are doing. And we're close. So now, this is what I want to really get into today. The word framed comes from the word ketartizo in Greek, which means to arrange, to set in order, to equip, to adjust, complete what is lacking, make fully ready, repair, prepare. And if you look into these, you understand that framing is a continual process. It's not a one-time thing. I don't fix something once and then assume it's never going to break again. I stay with it. You put air in your tire. You don't buy a new car, make sure there's air in the tire, and then never have to fill it again for the remaining life of your car. There will be those times you will have to complete what was lacking in the air in those tires. So when you start thinking about the fact that he's saying, in faith, I realize the worlds, we'll just use what's written, the worlds, the world or ages, was framed. In other words, by faith, I realize everything has been set to perfect order. And when it's out of order, Lord is repairing it, perfecting it, equipping it, adjusting it by His word, so that the things which were seen, things that I can see with my, the things that are evidence, the realization of it, are being established by what I can't see with my human eyes. I don't know how God's doing it, but He's doing it, basically, is what He's saying. I may not see the physical process. I may not, you know, it's like the mechanic, you watch them fix your car. You can actually see them, see what they're doing. Well, I may not physically see, but with my spiritual eyes, I do. Because it's reality to me spiritually, even though it hasn't revealed itself in reality yet. Okay? It's with me. Philippians 1:6 points to this when he says, I am being confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in who? You. Will complete it until the day of Christ. So what is this all saying to us today? That it is God himself, by his word, not only spoke the world, the eons, the ages into existence, but spoke mine and your life into existence. Spoke into existence the things he's established for us, the way we are. I'm so glad this morning there was a theme about, in a way, self-image and how we look at ourselves and feel about ourselves. Because what Mark said was perfect. You're beautiful. Because in the eyes of God, he sees your beauty. Why? Because he put it in there. He framed what our lives are supposed to look like. Now, we're going to get into a lot more of the framing process next week. But I want us to understand this foundation this week. The word is used, the word framed as well, ketartizo, is also used for the disciples when they mend their nets in Matthew 4:21, which says, going on from here, he saw the brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So think about this. You have two men with their dad who are fishermen mending nets. Why would they need to mend nets? Because the net is useless if it has holes in it, if it's been torn. It's not fulfilling its full purpose. Sure, they can throw it, and maybe a part of the net is able to grab a small handful of fish. But there's still gaps that a lot of wasted effort and energy is being exhibited if the net is not mended. So the Lord, with this word, when he's framing, he's saying, I am filling in all the loose holes. I'm tightening this net. I'm putting it together so what you do, you will reap the most out of your efforts. Now, Jesus also said, whatever you do in my name, my Father is going to honor and bless, right? So when you put that into the equation, whatever we do in his name, as we stay within his framework, so to speak, God's going to get the most out of us, even though we might think, I don't have enough to give. I'm not good enough or talented enough or skilled enough. But God, all he cares about is you saying, all right, I'll do it. I'll step into it. I'll give you my best. That's all. I will walk the path you've already established for me. I'll stay within your framework, Lord, and let you fix the holes in my net. I'll let you put together the broken pieces and glue what came off. I'll let you equip me, because again, this is one of the definitions of that word. Equip me, give me what I need, what I am lacking. You will pour into me. I just need to make myself available to you to do that. The word is also used in restoring a fallen brother. Same word. In Hebrews 13:20-21, now may the God of peace who brought you up, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, this is where the word is, complete or even perfect. Complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So in Matthew 4:21, they're mending their nets, and it's referred to that. It's making it stronger to catch the fish because it was useless. And if you remember, what does he eventually tells his disciples? I will make you what? So not only is it used to mend nets, but he's equipping them to catch bigger fish. The things that really matter to God. And you know what's so cool? If you think, let's look at just the disciples in this case first. Catching fish was their training ground and discipline to becoming fishers of men. It's not, well, here you're catching fish, now you're going to go catch men. It's, this is the, you know, Karate Kid, Daniel-san, wax on, wax off thing. Let me train you here. I framed you with this life I've given you. You're where you are, born to the parents you were born to, in the situation you're in, because I am refining things in you, in your character. If you will position yourself to let me do this, I'm tweaking things in your life, in your way of thinking, in your way of being, so that the evolution of who what you are to become would lead to the growth you need to have in order to be what I created you to be, your destiny. Their destiny was to be fishers of men, but they learned to be fishers of men by starting off as fishermen, dealing with the frustrations and the tolerances they need to have, dealing with the heat, dealing with the elements, dealing with all these other things, so that when they have to deal with these other things here, they're prepared. So it's the mending process. And then in Hebrews, it's about restoring, fixing, setting up something that is not fully functional or useful in the condition it is in. So when you think about a fallen brother or sister, and when we talk about a fallen brother or sister, we're talking someone who's strayed away from the things of God. So they're not walking with the Lord. They're not walking on the path the Lord has laid out for them. The things God established, they're not in tune with Him in what He has for them. So it's about restoring them back to the road that they were meant to travel with Christ. So by being off this road, they're not functional and they're not useful for the kingdom of God. They're not reaching their potential. They're not being the blessed person they're meant to be blessed. See, we are meant to be blessed. And the blessing isn't that life is perfect. The blessing is exactly what Amy mentioned a little bit ago. Her workload increased, responsibility increased, but as she's walking with Christ, she has a peace about her and an anointing in that peace that helps her to accomplish these things. That's what it means to bless. See, we learned a few years ago the word anointed, the anointing on something. When we're anointed for something, it means it's something specific God has for us. And when the anointing is on it, it doesn't make the hard work less hard. It just makes it work and flow and function the way it's supposed to be and move in His presence. It's still not going to be easy at times, but it'll flow. So this word, this framing, the purpose of God framing with His word, and we know the word became flesh in Christ, and He's still framing us because the word of God still is in our lives and it is living and powerful and active. That's what we just declare every Sunday. So the word is alive. It is living and breathing within us. So it's this continual framing process by His word that God is perfecting us into His image, into what He has for us. See, in faith, by faith, verse 3 of Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So in faith, we recognize that something that we can't even see, established, set up, perfected, is establishing, is setting up, continues to perfect the things about us in the natural. So in the supernatural, God is still working on us. See, a poor self-image or self-esteem comes from the fact that we look in the mirror and we have a specific mindset about how we are and how we feel about ourselves. And that mindset is limited to what we believe we are right now. So I look at myself and I say, I don't like myself because of A, B, and C. And what I'm saying is, I don't like myself because of these things that I see right now in front of me. God looks at us and says, that's what you look like now, but I haven't fully cleaned you up yet. I'm not finished with you yet. Why do you think you are completely done? Why do you think this is all I have for you? Why do you think you are limited to just this? When Mary says nothing is impossible for God or everything is possible with God, she's saying you are unlimited in what you're able to do. So why would I limit you in my life when your nature is unlimited? Your nature has potential that is beyond my ability to comprehend potential. Your nature can do things in my life, around my life, through my life that I can't even imagine or think about or comprehend right now. This is who you are. I look at myself, and 9 out of 10 times, most of us see where we lack, where we are not useful, where we need repair. You know, we look at ourselves as we look at, you know, our 1986 Toyota Corolla kind of thing. You know, or Chevy Citation, if there's still any alive out there. And we're going, this thing is faulty here, it's there, the windows don't work, you know, it smells, it's leaking, I got to put oil in it every other day. That's how we look at ourselves. But the Lord is saying, I see your fullness. I'm not done with you yet. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop thinking the way you're thinking. But start thinking about my unlimited capacity to do what I want to do in you. In my word. And that's the key here. It's in his word. God speaks it. He speaks it and it is. He spoke light. He spoke the heavens and the earth. He spoke the waters that separated the land. He spoke the animals. He spoke and he spoke and things came into being. Problem is, we need to stop speaking and listen to what he's speaking about. Because all most of us hear most of the time is what we're saying to ourselves. We're not hearing what God is speaking over us. And the way to do that is, we need to spend time with him and draw near to him and be intimate with him to hear his voice. See, the good shepherd, Bible says, and it's declared, and we even just read it, the sheep know the good shepherd's voice. He is the good shepherd. But there's so many distractions, so many noises, and we're too busy buying, so to speak, that we don't hear him say, come. Say, man, I love your wool. And just you wait when it comes in full. I love your personality. I formed it. Of course I love it. I love what I'm about to do. You're not there yet, but you're getting there. Relax. And I think some of us just need to just do that. Just relax and just let him do what he wants to do instead of trying to do it for him. He is still in this framing process. He's not done with you. I don't care what your life looks like, what you think of yourself right now. What you need to do, what we need to do, is start thinking that it's not done yet. I'm not done yet. What God has for me is not done. This isn't all. When I lived in Texas, there's a saying, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait 20 minutes, it'll change. Wait 20 minutes and see what God does. Watch how the winds, his winds of change start blowing. But you have to wait. Wait upon the Lord. And the word wait in Scripture is not, I'm just going to sit on a couch and eat popcorn. It's, yeah, Lord, I'm pressing into you while I'm waiting. I'm having this faith, this active thing. See, that's my role. This active thing where I am believing in what you have already spoken about me, what I've already seen you do in other people's lives, so I know you can do it in my life. I'm waiting on you to do it. So I am trusting you to do it. I'm actively in the process of trust. Not just throwing a prayer to the air and wondering if it'll come down. It's deliberate. It's purposeful. It's specific. So the Lord is in this process in every one of us. And as I said, kind of want to set this up today for next week as we talk about the purpose and the process of framing. But my prayer for us this morning is that when we walk out of here, do not forget that the Lord is not done yet. That He spoke this over you. By faith, we understand that the worlds, eons, ages, or by faith, I understand that I am being framed by the Word of God. I want you to replace that with, I understand that I am being framed by the Word of God, or my situation in life is being framed by the Word of God. Stand on that faith. Stand on it and seek what He has for you in that, because it's a very powerful thing that you can use when the enemy wants to tell you you're not all you should be. And when doubt within you starts showing up and trying to come out, remember, God is not done yet. He is still framing you. Would you stand with me? Yes, Father. Just position yourself in that receiving position right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we can clearly declare that we and I am completely and boldly confident in this, that what you have started in me, Philippians, the good work that you have started in me, I am this good work. Because you don't create anything bad. That you started in me. That you are faithful to finish me, complete me, heal me, restore me, rebuild me, equip me, empower me, fix me, strengthen me, fill in the gaps, sew me up, so that I can be everything I want to be, I'm meant to be, till the day, Jesus, you return. Thank you that we have this confidence, that I have this confidence. And I will boldly say that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In a minute, we're going to split up, get together in a little prayer group. But I just want you right now, each one of us here knows, if we're really honest with ourselves, specific things we've spoken over ourselves that we're not in line with God's framing process, or specific things that we spoke over our situation that are not in line with God's framing process. And do something very simple. Let the Holy Spirit bring to recollection. Ask Him about at least one thing specific right now, because you can do more with this later, but right now, what the Holy Spirit just brought to your mind. Just simply repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for allowing this thought to come in. And in Jesus' name, I shut the door to this thought, to the enemy speaking these words to me. And then I receive what you are speaking over me, what you have spoken over me. In Jesus' name. Just let the Holy Spirit minister for a few seconds.